Scripture tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And certainly we are more than the aggregate of our individual parts. But one of the things that God has given us is our hands. Our hands are an incredible tool. In fact, Aristotle said that they were the tool of all tools. And certainly in many ways, our hands separate us as God's creation from all of the animal world. You know, we can tell a lot about someone by their hands. Their hands speak volumes. In fact, as we look at one's hands or as we shake one's hands, maybe a rough hand, indicates that that individual, that man or that woman is an outdoors person. Maybe they have calluses on those hands, and that shows that those hands have done hard, arduous work. Hands can identify us. In fact, scientists tell us that no two individuals have fingerprints that are alike. Hands make us unique, and hands make us what we really are as humans. You know, we can go to the doctor, and the doctor can tell a lot about our hands. Apparently, a doctor can look at our hands and see sometimes even a disease that we might have. By the color and by the swelling or lack thereof in our hands, the doctor can tell a tremendous amount about our overall health. Hands are an incredible thing. Hands can create. Hands can provide. We can reach out in love and shake a hand. We can repulse by putting up our hands. Hands can administer love. Hands can administer a sacrifice. Hands can administer discipline. And so hands are wonderful things. But tonight I want to talk to you just for a moment about a friend of mine who has some very special hands. And I hope tonight that if you're in this audience, this friend is your friend as well. I want to talk to you about the hands of the Master. You know, sometimes we talk about the hands of time. But I want to talk to you tonight about timeless hands. I want to talk to you about the timeless hands of Jesus Christ and what his hands did in his ministry and what those hands can tell us and show us about living for him. You know, as we look at the scripture, there's a beautiful picture, a beautiful painting on the canvas of eternity in the Bible about the hands of Jesus. And I want to notice with you tonight four characteristics of the hands of Jesus. First of all, the creative hands of Jesus. You know, when Mary first looked down into that manger scene and those little fists certainly probably clenched, and she looked down into the face of that little baby, could she ever have imagined that those were the hands of the Creator? You know, the book of Colossians tells us that nothing was made that was made without Him. And though we use the term hands in an anthropomorphical way, and we use it in a way that, you know, describes characteristics that really cannot be described, the hands of that baby, so to speak, the hands of Christ, the hands of the incarnate Logos, were the hands that, with God, threw the worlds into existence. The hands of the Savior. And as Mary looked down, did she know that those hands would be the very creative hands that would create a world that was more palatable? A world where a ministry of salvation would be brought. You know, Jesus' hands, no doubt, were incredible as he grew up. We don't know much about the early days of Jesus. We have a snapshot in the Gospel of Luke. But Jesus was the son of a carpenter. He was the son of a man who was probably very familiar with the swinging of hammers. And whether he was a carpenter in wood or a carpenter in stone, scholars disagree. But nonetheless, he was a man who no doubt grew up knowing how to use his hands. Sometimes I see pictures in religious bookstores of a little boy. He's standing beside a workbench, usually a woodwork bench, and his father is over doing his thing, and he's taking a hammer and he's looking at nails. Did Jesus know at that young age that someday he too would have the nails in his hand, but the hammer would be someone else? You know, Jesus learned, I believe, how to use his hands in creative power. Jesus formed the thing that we call Christianity. He formed it with the very hands and the very purpose, the very body that he had. But then secondly, this evening, the hands of Jesus were not only creative hands, but they were consecrating hands. You know, Jesus, of course, was holy. Jesus is the Son of God. He is deity. And Jesus consecrated things as he lived on this life. And I think one of the things that comes to my mind readily is the Lord's Supper. You know, we know that just in and of itself, the loaf and the fruit of the vine, they're just elements. But on that night that Jesus was betrayed, when he took the loaf and then he took the cup and he blessed it, he consecrated it, his hands gave very special significance to that. And you know, tonight, as Jesus takes his hands and molds us, as was mentioned today, the clay and the potter, and as he molds us, he consecrates us. Jesus can consecrate us and set us apart for holy service. But number three, Jesus' hands are compassionate hands. I want to focus on the last two points of my talk tonight, just a little bit more than the first two, because I believe they're still practical. Jesus' hands are compassionate hands. I want you to think about Jesus as he began his ministry. He circulated, he touched those who others would not even get close to. The lepers would come and cry, "Be merciful to me," and he would go and touch them. He would touch the unclean, he would touch those with diseases, knowing that full well others would see him as now ceremonially unclean. Jesus touched the lepers. He reached out his hand and raised the dead. He wasn't afraid to become tainted by what others thought that would corrupt him. I think there are a couple of very interesting scenarios in the scriptures that demonstrate the compassion as demonstrated through the hand of Jesus. One is in the Gospel of John in John 8, where Jesus, of course, is there and a woman taken in adultery comes. She is brought to him, and you remember the story well, how that she is, as it were, thrown down before him, and the accusation and the accusers are all around. And they began to want Jesus to accuse this woman, and certainly he knew she was guilty because he said later, "Go and sin no more." But Jesus just ignored the accusations. He ignored the hypocrisy of those that had brought her, and he just stooped down and began to write in the dirt. Now, would you think that a master, would you think that a savior, would you think of Jesus Christ stooping to just write in the dirt? We don't know what he wrote. Was he writing the sins of those who were standing before him? Was he writing the Ten Commandments? What was he writing? We don't know. But his hand, his finger, not only convicted those because they began to leave from the eldest to the least, but it also demonstrated the mercy and the compassion and the love that Jesus had for not only that woman, but for us. His hands were beautiful. I don't know what his hands looked like. I don't know from being outdoors and being a carpenter's son if his hands were scarred already, but Jesus had beautiful hands. Another case that comes to mind is Peter. You remember on that night on the Sea of Galilee when Peter is out there on the boat with the other apostles and Jesus has stayed over on the mountain to pray and they are rowing toward the other side. And a great storm comes up and they are terrified because their little boat is literally on the edge of being capsized and they're afraid for their life. And Jesus comes that night walking on the water. I love that story because Peter, he's so us. He's so much like we are and he looks out and first of all he's terrified of who this thing is or who this person is. He thinks it's a spirit. And he cries out, and the other apostles are terrified, and then Jesus says, "Fear not, it's I, don't be afraid." And what does Peter do? Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water." I always wonder if Peter maybe, after he said that, was a little bit sorry. Peter kind of was the individual who had a sandal that said, "On the bottom, stick in mouth." But nonetheless, Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter steps out of the boat and begins to go to Jesus. But when he looks around, he sees the waves boisterous and he sees the storm and he begins to sink. What does Jesus do with his hand? Jesus reaches out and takes Peter's hand. And then the next scenario, the next scene is they're in the boat. And I propose to you that one of two things happened. Either hand in hand, Jesus lifted him into the boat, or hand in hand, Peter walked on the water. I think that's an incredible thought. You see, when our hand is in the hand of the Master, when with the compassionate hand of Jesus grasps ours, we can do things that we never thought we could do spiritually. We can be strong with the Lord, and we can be strong in the Lord. Well, finally, this evening, I want to talk to you about one more type of characteristic that Jesus had with his hands. There are so many more, but the crucified hands of Jesus surely stand out to us. You know, Jesus was led in the garden away with his hands bound. As he was on that mock trial, they put a reed in his hands so that they might mock him as they blindfolded him and spit in and hit at him. And then we see him, no doubt, holding the rough-hewn cross as he tries to make it up in a weakened condition, having been scourged and beaten and spit upon to Calvary. And then we see him as a lamb led to the slaughter, laying out his hands, I believe willingly, and letting the nails go through his hands. The crucified hands of Jesus say it all, do they not? The crucified hands of Jesus speak of love. The crucified hands of Jesus speak of compassion. The crucified hands of Jesus speak of sacrifice. And do they not also speak of service? Were it not for the crucified hands of Jesus, we would not be here tonight. Were it not for the crucified hands of Jesus, we would have, as our brother just said, no hope of heaven. You see, Jesus on the cross spread out his hands and embraced the world. And he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Not long after Jesus arose, he appeared before the disciples. But there was one man, his name was Thomas, he wasn't there. Later, Thomas, having denied that Jesus could have even have risen, was with the apostles, and Jesus shows up again. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Thomas, reach forth your hand. Put it into the holes in my hand. Put your hand into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." And then Jesus goes on to say something else that I think is just incredible. He says, "Thomas, you have seen and believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Through eyes of faith tonight, we can see the hands of Jesus. Through eyes of faith tonight, we can see what Jesus has done with his hands. And while he created the world, and while then he created us perfect, mankind fell, and he was willing to stretch out his hands in love and compassion and service one more time and die for us. You know, I don't know what Jesus is going to look like in heaven, but I like to think that maybe we will know him by the scars in our hands, in his hands rather. You know, Linwood Smith wrote the song about his friend. He said, "Have you heard of my friend who is dearer to me than all wealth that the world can command? 'Tis a joy just to know that a friend still is he. He's the one with the scars in his hand." As we live our Christian lives and as we think about serving others, and as we think about reaching out, let's think about reaching out with our hands. And let's think about having hands like Jesus.